98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning. It is 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Ted Woodward. Steve McIntosh has the day off. John Whitmer is live in studio with us today on Friday, August 29th, as we head into Labor Day weekend. We'll be taking a look at lots of travel.
Wichita woman found guilty of killing her son. I'm Dan O'Neill.
And the full weather forecast is on the way as well. Currently in Wichita, we have a cloudy sky. It is 67 degrees here on this Friday morning. Travel has been breaking records all summer long, and the Labor Day weekend expected to be busy as well. Sean Stewart with AAA Kansas says nearly 90% of travelers will be driving to their destinations.
Here in Kansas, we are currently at $2.87 a gallon on average, about 20 cents less than a year ago. And that puts us at 10th lowest average gas price in the country.
And in Wichita, the average price per gallon, $2.90. That is slightly higher than the state average. Though, prices across the state are lower than this time last year.
Today marks the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina's devastation of the Gulf Coast region. Fox's Tanya Powers has more.
Hurricane Katrina is blamed for the deaths of almost 1,400 people and $125 billion in damage. It made landfall on August 29, 2005, near New Orleans as a Category 3 hurricane with a massive storm surge. President George W. Bush called it one of the worst natural disasters in our nation's history.
The vast majority of New Orleans, Louisiana is underwater.
The Louisiana Superdome became a temporary shelter as well as a symbol for the challenges in the storm's aftermath.
You know, it's really bad. You know, I mean, they got disease in there. They got dead bodies. The bathrooms, we haven't used it since, like, Tuesday.
Ceremonies are planned across New Orleans and South Mississippi to observe the anniversary. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
A Wichita woman who admitted to shooting and killing her son last fall pled no contest to the charges in court.
47-year-old Tisha Florence was charged with second-degree murder, aggravated assault, and aggravated robbery. Police say that she shot her 16-year-old son Robert at her apartment near Harry and Webb during an argument about getting ready for school. Sentencing was set for October 17th. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Kansas Senator Jerry Moran hosted federal, state, and local law enforcement officials in Garden City Thursday for a roundtable to discuss the region's challenges. The covered topics, such as organized crime, drug, and human trafficking, during the roundtable. The Drug Enforcement Administration announced its commitment to increasing the number of agents in the Garden City area. Senator Moran said his goal is to have directly interaction with officials and sheriffs from Congress and have a better commitment and better support from law enforcement.
The deaths from Legionnaires' disease in New York City still on the rise.
Health officials announcing there's been a seventh death in the outbreak of Legionnaires' disease in central Harlem. There have been a total of 114 confirmed cases in the area, and six of the patients remain hospitalized. Legionnaires is a bacterial disease, a severe form of pneumonia, transmitted through inhaling contaminated water droplets from sources like cooling towers, hot tubs, or decorative fountains. Scientists are working to figure out which cooling towers are making people sick in Harlem. In New York, Sue Guzman, Fox News.
Caldwell, Kansas, in Sumner County, is the ornate box turtle capital of the world. The story designation dates back to 1986, with a sixth grade class in Caldwell realized that the state of Kansas didn't have a state reptile. Now Caldwell is celebrating its heritage and their history with 12 turtle sculptures around the city. The project was funded by the public arts grant announced by the Kansas Arts Commission. The project was open to public submissions and had over 20 artists of all ages send in designs. The top 12 designs were voted on by the public. The city began installing the turtles last October, and they've been increasingly popular. The 12 turtles can be found on the Turtle Trail. Each turtle has its own unique name and design. A map of the Turtle Trail may be found on the wall outside the Caldwell Grocery Store and pamphlets with more information are inside City Hall.
A once key method of communication is going away. And that high-speed train out in California, still trying to figure out how to pay for it or to make it even run. So we'll have that. And, of course, our full weather forecast is coming up live as we head into the Labor Day weekend on this Friday morning. We're glad you're with us here on August 29th, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. With Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. One of the original methods of how we connected to the internet will officially shut down tomorrow.
Who still uses a dial-up internet connection? AOL, once called America Online, is officially shutting down the last of its dial-up connection nodes after tomorrow. There was a time when your internet connection wasn't constant or even always available. You needed a landline phone. AOL's dial-up service has been in operation for 34 years. While dial-up internet today seems quaint, U.S. Census data shows about 160,000 Americans still use it to get online. Eben Brown, Fox News.
You know, Al Gore invented the internet. I don't know if you knew that. California is exploring new ways of funding their high-speed rail project.
The project has ballooned from an initial $33 billion in total cost to a projected $128 billion and is years behind its original 2020 completion date. Now, California's high-speed rail project is getting hit with more funding cuts from Washington. After terminating $4 billion in funding in July, the Federal Railroad Administration is now pulling out of four additional projects related to the high-speed rail line, clawing back more than $175 million in the process. Questions remain to how the state will pay for the soaring costs. Potential revenue streams being proposed include selling off excess power from planned solar arrays along the tracks, developing real estate around train stations, and allowing freight service to use the tracks during off-peak hours.
And that's Fox Business's Max Gordon with that report. It is 610 with Steve and Ted here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, your Friday morning commute heading into Labor Day weekend. And helping you out on the commute all morning long, we have Jad Chambers, hard at work.
And right now in the Wichita area, we've got the traffic volumes already starting to pick up just a little bit out there. It being a holiday weekend, you have to wonder if maybe we're going to start getting some increases in holiday travel or maybe some decreases in work travel as people take extra days off. We'll have to see. Right now, it looks fairly normal out there, maybe a little bit more traffic now than we would normally have at this time. We do have a stalled out vehicle. You want to watch out for this. In a high traffic area, it is just west of the North Junction southbound on I-235. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
And as we take a look at our weather forecast heading into the Labor Day weekend, let's check in Storm Team 12 meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Beware the fog on your Friday morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies and a high of 75. Lots of clouds and 65 tonight. Mostly cloudy on Saturday, high 77. There is a small chance of an afternoon shower or storm. Unfortunately, there is a better chance of storms on Sunday morning and again Sunday afternoon. In between, it's a high of 76. Labor Day looks dry. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
And currently in Wichita, we do have 93% humidity, a breeze out of the south. It is 67 degrees as we're under a cloudy sky heading into the Labor Day weekend at Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 612 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Once again, welcome in studio, John Whitmer this morning. Hello, John.
Hello, good morning. Got any big weekend plans?
Big weekend
play. Labor Day weekend play.
Well, I've been doing, we got Shocker Volleyball, so I'll be doing Shocker Volleyball tonight and Sunday afternoon. So I got that. I got the football, Notre Dame, Miami on Sunday night, so I'm gearing up for that.
You're working.
And, I think that may be the two highlights. And I'm probably going to go try to see the Wind Surge sometime before, they leave. Oh, they're still in town, but sometime this weekend as well.
Busy man. Busy
I got baseball, volleyball, and college football on my brain. I guess.
Yeah, that's okay.
I can't think. Oh, and I might go to. I might go see Evita at Roxy's.
Wow.
So I think. Yeah.
Man about town.
My dance card might be kind of full this weekend. I guess now that you made me think about it.
See, look at. I was going to say.
So I think that leaves Monday, Labor Day itself, is me just sleeping.
Went from nothing on the plate to a whole lot on the plate.
And then we'll be back again for another week of Steve and Ted on Tuesday. What about you?
The missus and I will probably be doing some door knocking. It's that time of year. You know, we got a lot of campaigns, and so I wouldn't be surprised. I know we're planning on going out today and knocking on some doors, and, you know, it's that time of year. So folks are out campaigning. We've got a couple city council races, a couple school board races that we'll be door knocking, I'm sure.
All right, well.
Perfect weather. Take advantage of it.
Decent weather to do that,
yeah,
of course.
Without a doubt. We were out yesterday. We'll be out again today, I'm sure.
Jad, what about Labor Day weekend for you?
I believe there's a cookout with my brothers and my parents this weekend down
Very nice.
In Clearwater.
Hell,
so
that'll be awesome.
Little day trip down to the old homestead. And
now you're making me hungry.
I was going to say, I love Clearwater. You know, Clearwater's got one of their art walk is absolutely, if people haven't been down to the Clearwater art walk.
Yeah, I'd kind of moved out by the time that mostly that got in there, but I've seen it since. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. That's part of my old house district in Clearwater. And so I used to go down and.
You've probably been to the Fall Festival down there,
yes,
then.
Absolutely.
Which is,
walk the parade. Been
yeah,
to the
coming
fall
up
festival.
In October.
Yeah, absolutely. Same Hayesville's got a Fall Festival as well. It's pretty
I remember
fun.
One year that I went to the state fair, and then I went to our Fall Festival, and I remember that I honestly thought that the Fall Festival in Clearwater was actually more crowded and had more things to do than even the state fair. It was really amazing that year.
I think, frankly, the Sedgwick County Fair is actually more enjoyable in many ways than the Kansas State Fair. Kansas State Fair is just so crowded, and so overly commercialized that it just gets a little overwhelmed. You get information overload out there. Mm-hmm.
But I was
like Sedgwick County Fair.
I was just shocked at the number of people that were at that Clearwater Fall Festival. That might have been pre-COVID, though, like maybe 2 or 3 years before that.
It's still fun.
And it is. Yeah.
Same with Hayesville. Actually, you know, there's out in Andover, there's a fun one.
Oh, Andover's is really good. Yeah.
Goddard's has got a good one. So there's a lot of, if you really want to have some fun, some of these little rural small towns, you can go out there and have a lot of fun and don't have to deal with quite the same kind of over-commercialized.
And maybe even not so little. I mean, if you go all the way to Salina, their Smoky Hill River Festival is amazing.
Yep. Well,
every year.
And of course, I'm Scottish.
Yeah.
So I love the Highland Games. If you really want to have fun, go to McPherson.
The Highland Games in McPherson, great too.
The only thing they don't have is haggis. And I love haggis. So, you know, if you've never had haggis.
Now I'm looking forward to going somewhere this weekend. And I don't know what's this weekend. I'll have to. Well, we'll be able to tell you here coming up in a couple of hours. We'll have our. We'll have our weekly check-in with Visit Wichita, Jamel Haliparic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, so we'll be able to figure out what's going on around town.
Also coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, 2 hours from right now, our final preseason daily report live with Mitch Holton, play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs.
With Mitchell.
Our last preseason visit with Mitch. We've been doing it every day for the last 5 weeks since late July.
Well, and at 7:30, we'll have a little chit chat with former governor Dr. Jeff Collier. Will be with us. So,
who is running for governor? Running for the office.
I'll try if I do fill in again. I'll try and get you another couple of governor candidates. Lord knows there's plenty to choose from.
There's a lot. And a big happy birthday today to one of our great co-workers down the hall over at KUIN, Dave Wilson.
Dave!
Who runs the Dave Show.
Yes, happy
celebrating
birthday,
a birthday Dave. Today. And he is just a 100% quality individual.
Oh, Dave was a producer of my show for a couple of years on Sundays. I love Dave.
I think everybody does.
Dave's just a class guy.
One of those people you want to know and you want to have in your life because he's pretty cool. All right, happy birthday to Dave Wilson, celebrating a birthday today, right down the hall over at KUIN. Happy birthday, Dave. And of course, we had him on live here with Steve and Ted on Tuesday on our 7,000th show. He actually came down and said hi to us. It is 6:18 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. All right, we got to get to a lot of things going on in sports, including college football. Tonight, up in Lawrence, it's Kansas and Wagner.
Rock shot.
Yeah, I get excited about that. The Seahawks come to town, an FCS opponent for KU. Jayhawks are 1-0. 6:30 kickoff tonight in Lawrence. And KU is a 45.5 point favorite. First meeting ever between these two teams as Wagner comes all the way to Kansas from Staten Island.
Think they might
take on
win
the
that
Jayhawks.
One.
You think?
Think they might be favored in that one.
KU and Wagner. That'll be at 6:30, and that game is tonight in Lawrence. K-State plays tomorrow on a Saturday, home opener for the Wildcats. Kansas State hosting another FCS school. North Dakota comes to K-State. Of course, the Wildcats are 0-1 coming off that loss in Ireland last week to Iowa State. The Fighting Hawks of North Dakota
back.
And
little,
K-State.
Little bounce back game.
Wildcats are favored by 4 touchdowns, 28.5 points. First meeting ever between these two as well. They were supposed to play in the 2020 season, but COVID happened and they didn't. And here we are 5 years later, and they're finally matching up. That'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff tonight in Manhattan. Live pregame coverage on the K-State Radio Network at 4 o'clock this afternoon for the Wildcats. Not this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon. And that is on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. K-State football tomorrow. Tomorrow as well, we're getting things going for the KCAC. Friends University is ranked 12th in the nation, and Friends opening up hosting Bethany. That'll kick off at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening on the west side of town. Also, you've got 14th ranked Southwestern opening up at home hosting Bethel. It'll also be a 6 o'clock kickoff for the Mound Builders. JUCO football, 13th ranked Butler Community College is opening up on the road this year at Northeastern Oklahoma A&M, heading down to Miami, Oklahoma for the season opener. As these two get going at it, last year, Butler lost to the Golden Norsemen in the season opener. So they're looking in the El Dorados, probably looking for some revenge on the road this season. That was an overtime loss. Dennis Higgins will have live coverage of Butler football to begin the season at 6:30 tomorrow night. And that is right here on 98.7 FM KNSS. Major League Baseball, the Kansas City Royals are home this weekend hosting the first-place Detroit Tigers. Now, Detroit has lost 4 in a row. The Royals have won 3 out of 4. 7 o'clock tonight, that's on KFH. 6 o'clock tomorrow night, that's here on 1330 AM KNSS. And back on KFH, 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. The Royals are 3 games behind for a playoff spot with 4 weeks to go in the season. It is a home weekend for the Wichita Wind Surge in Minor League Baseball. Part of a 12-game homestand hosting the Arkansas Travelers. Wichita has won the first 3 games of that 12-game homestand, including last night, 7-4, when Kalai Rosario, the Texas League leader in home runs, hit 2 more, including a grand slam home run on the final swing of the game to win it in the bottom of the 9th inning. You can't get more dramatic than that. So 3 more for the Wind Surge this weekend on Labor Day weekend, 7 o'clock tonight. There's a hat giveaway. It's 2000s boy bands night and post-game fireworks. 6 o'clock tomorrow night, a bucket hat giveaway. And it's a SpongeBob SquarePants night. And then 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon to wrap up the 6-game series with Arkansas. Wichita State Volleyball season opener at Coke Arena with 2 home matches this weekend for the Shocker Volleyball Classic. Season opener is 7 o'clock tonight at Coke Arena, the Shockers and Kennesaw State. And then a big matchup against a school from the Southeastern Conference, Arkansas, on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock at Coke Arena as we get going for Shocker Volleyball on the season. And a happy birthday today to former Wichita State pitcher Jeff Richardson is 62 years old today. A Wichita native, pitched at Northwest High School and for the Shockers. He's one of those guys that is interesting in that he played only 1 game in the major leagues. September 19th of 1990 for the California Angels. He only threw 3 pitches. Came in from the bullpen with the Angels trailing 9-5 against the Tigers in the top of the 9th inning. On his first pitch, he gave up a 3-run triple to Travis Fryman. Oh. But then on his next 2 pitches, he did get Mike Heath to ground out for the pitcher in the 9th inning. All 3 of his pitches were strikes. He only got to throw 3 pitches in the majors. Former Shocker pitcher Jeff Richardson, it's his birthday. He is 62 today. And we have a couple of big Wichita football birthdays today, too, that I'll talk about in the 7 o'clock hour, next hour. Hey, sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumpkin Pumpkin Ale. WBC's most popular seasonal beer. It's made with actual pumpkin, served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. That's pizza and beer made here. And sports is brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Provides detox, residential, and outpatient services for most insurances and veterans. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch. It is 6:23 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Keep it here for traffic and weather. And screen time. Does that help some older folks? We'll find out more on A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta next on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
6:33 with Steve and Ted here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. It is Friday, August 29th. Currently in Wichita, we have 93% humidity. It is 67 degrees on this Friday morning. Wichita State University and Ascension Via Christi announcing a partnership for the university's nursing program. Ascension Via Christi CEO Kevin Strecker said the partnership will open up a world of opportunities for nursing students.
This naming not only recognizes, as I mentioned, the historical partnership that we've had with Via Christi, but also the future partnership that we'll engage in as we expand our footprint downtown through the Wichita Biomedical Campus.
The Ascension Via Christi Wichita State University College of Nursing will also provide additional research opportunities.
New details about the shooter who fired into a crowd of school children during Mass at a Catholic church in Minneapolis Wednesday, killing two children and injuring 18 other people, are emerging.
Officials say the suspect had a fixation on violent school shooters and had a deep obsession with wanting to kill young, innocent children. The 23-year-old shooter was a former student whose mother once worked at the church. The shooter was born a male but filed for a name change at just 17 years old with parental approval. Officials say that shooter left multiple anti-religious references in his manifesto and written on firearms. That manifesto expressing a deep hatred toward almost all groups and people, including African Americans, President Trump, and Jewish people.
That's Fox's Brooke Taylor reporting from Minneapolis.
The White House continues to call on Illinois leaders to ask for the federal government to send in law enforcement following President Donald Trump's suggestion that he might deploy the National Guard to Chicago.
While officials in Chicago argue that violent crime in the Windy City is down about 13% so far this year, the White House counters that for 13 straight years, it's actually led the nation in murders and has seen more illegal handguns recovered than L.A. and New York City combined. Border Czar Tom Holman confirmed that immigration enforcement will be ramped up in so-called sanctuary cities like Chicago, and that a military base outside the city has been asked to prep for potential ICE operations.
And that's Fox's Kevin Cork with that report from the nation's capital.
A woman who exceeded her time to speak during a Wichita City Council meeting and was removed after refusing to sit down is now suing the city for discrimination. Mary Dean has filed the lawsuit against the city, Mayor Lily Wu, and City Manager Robert Layton, among others, saying the city discriminated against her and violated her civil rights. She was removed from the council meeting on August 7th. Dean is seeking damages and accountability from city leaders. I was actually in attendance at this city council meeting. She was way out of line.
Newton Police and Fire EMS assisted in the investigation of an exploded device. It was found yesterday morning in the 1500 block of North Anderson. The Kansas State Fire Marshal's Office and ATF also called to the scene. Before 5:30 in the morning, Newton police responded to the report of shots fired. They didn't find any evidence, but then about 5 hours later, a person on a bicycle reported what appeared to be an exploded homemade device in the street. That street was closed off to traffic during the investigation, and the ATF has retained the device for lab analysis.
The Trump administration has determined Denver public schools violated federal law by creating gender-inclusive restrooms. Fox's Tom Rigotti explains.
The Education Department says the district violated the Title IX anti-sex discrimination law with the co-ed bathrooms, which allowed students at East High School to use the restroom corresponding with their gender identity. Their investigation began after the school district converted a girls' room into an all-gender restroom while leaving another bathroom on the same floor exclusively for boys. The district later added a second all-gender restroom on the same floor to address claims of unfairness. The education department wants the restrooms converted back to gender exclusive within 10 days or risk unspecified enforcement actions. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
The Trump administration has launched about 24 investigations of transgender policies in schools. Roughly half of the investigations focus, at least in part, on who gets to use bathrooms in some K-12 school districts in four states, including Kansas.
New research says common over-the-counter painkillers may be fueling deadly antibiotic-resistant superbugs.
A study shows Advil and Tylenol were found to fuel the superbugs that contribute to antibiotic resistance. Researchers at the University of South Australia conducted lab tests with E. coli and Cipro. That's a common antibiotic used to treat urinary tract infections. They found that by adding Advil or Tylenol to the mix, they significantly increased genetic mutations in the bacteria. Those mutations made E. coli highly resistant to antibiotics. The World Health Organization says in 2019, drug-resistant bacteria were responsible for over 1 million deaths. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Pythons in the Everglades encounter a big surprise. Fox's Teresa Crowley with the details.
That's one crazy wabbit lying in wait for the invasive pythons in the Everglades. The pythons may be apex predators, but doomed by the lure of the robo-rabbits. Simple toy rabbits, retrofitted to emit heat, a rabbity smell, and move like a real rabbit. Solar-powered, switched on and off remotely, they're placed in pens and turn on when a python slithers nearby, luring the snake and hunters who are called to finish them off. Humans at the South Florida Water Management District say robo-rabbits are a lot simpler and cheaper than live ones, even at $4,000 a pop. But the Everglades python population is estimated as high as 300,000, and a female lays 50 to 100 eggs. Therese Crowley, Fox News.
6:39 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Let's take a look at our Labor Day weekend weather. Storm Team 12 meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Beware the fog on your Friday morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies and a high of 75. Lots of clouds and 65 tonight. Mostly cloudy on Saturday, high 77. There is a small chance of an afternoon shower or storm. Unfortunately, there is a better chance of storms on Sunday morning and again Sunday afternoon. In between, it's a high of 76. Labor Day looks dry. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Currently in Wichita, we have a breeze out of the south, cloudy sky, 93% humidity. It is 67 degrees here on this Friday morning. It is 6:40 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Now it's time to get some great information, as always. The commodities update, Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Ted. On a quiet news day yesterday, the cattle complex traded on both sides of unchanged for most of the session. There was no new record high scored yesterday, and shortly after 12 noon, the selling pushed the live cattle and the feeder cattle into triple-digit downside, and the closes were also triple-digit losses. Profit-taking and positioning ahead of the August expiration and end of the month was likely the reason. Lean hogs continued to trade and close higher yesterday. On the close, October live cattle down $2.60 at $236.92, October feeders down $2.67 at $361.52, and October lean hogs 37 cents higher at $94.27. Now Thursday, the Kansas City wheat futures continued scoring new contract lows, but the wheat, corn, and soybeans were able to close positive yesterday after trading negative most of the session. Now today is the last trading session for the month of August, and also the last trading session ahead of the Labor Day three-day weekend. December Kansas City wheat at the moment's down a penny at 5.14¾. December corn 2 cents higher at 4.12. November soybeans down 5 cents at 10.43. October crude oil 27 cents lower at 64.33. December gold down $7.30 at 3,467. September S&P down 20.5 points at 6,497. September dollar index 23 cents higher at $97.96. In September, Dow Jones futures 138 points lower at 45,568. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Labor Day weekend, will the markets be going all day or shutting down early?
We will have regular trading hours today. We won't have any trading Sunday evening or during the day Monday, but our grain markets will reopen Monday evening.
All right. What about your big Labor Day weekend?
Well, I don't have anything fantastic planned, but I do have a lot of catching up to do in the office, so I guess I'll be spending a little bit of my time in the office.
Well, you know, that's what that extra day is for. I think it helps you get caught up.
That's why they call it Labor Day, right?
That's one of the great ironies of life there. All right. Hey, Tom, thanks for joining us this week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, we'll see you next month. There he goes. Commodities Update with Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Every weekday morning at this time with Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Longevity and Lifestyles. That's coming up with the Money Tracker, Don Grant. He'll fill us in coming up in just a few minutes. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. .47 with Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Be sure to keep it here for the Money Tracker with Don Grant. He is coming up shortly. Now, Steve and Ted, it's time for three big things.
Three.
Wichita State University and Ascension Via Christi Hospital announcing a partnership for WSU's nursing program.
Two.
Labor Day weekend, 90% of travelers are driving to their destinations. Gasoline prices are lower than this time last year.
One.
College football, KU is home tonight, and then tomorrow evening, home openers for Kansas State and 12th-ranked Friends. Three big things with Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Traffic right now in the Wichita area, starting to see those heavier traffic volumes. Also taking a look at the traffic cameras to see the fog that we've been talking about out there right now. Doesn't appear to be really affecting visibility that badly in most places. In fact, Eisenhower National Airport still has visibility listed at a full 10 miles, so things on that front looking good, but just be aware that that could change. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
And a look at our weather forecast heading into Labor Day weekend. High today of 75 degrees under a mostly cloudy sky. Still mostly cloudy tonight and into tomorrow on Saturday. Overnight low tonight down to 65, a high tomorrow, 77. And on Sunday, we're looking at a high of 76, partly sunny and a 40% chance for showers and thunderstorms. That's on Sunday. And then on Monday, Labor Day, mostly sunny and a high of 80 degrees. Currently in Wichita, we have a cloudy sky, 96% humidity. It is 67 degrees. On our way to a high of 75 at Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Weather is brought to you by The Monarch. Hey, live acoustic music on the patio every Friday and Saturday night starting at 8 p.m. That's pretty cool. Check that out. The Monarch, 579 West Douglas at the Roundabout in Delano. What a great place to hang out, The Monarch. 6:49 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS, and let's look and see what the stock market did yesterday.
The major averages finishing higher with the Dow and S&P 500 closing at record levels as investors digested the latest financial results from AI chip giant Nvidia. They're also awaiting Friday's key PCE inflation data, which could reshape the path of interest rate cuts from the Fed. Tech stocks were the best performers. Shares of Google rose 2% for a record close. The Dow winners, American Express, Salesforce, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Amgen, Procter & Gamble, and Travelers. The Dow up 72 points. The Nasdaq higher by 115, S&P 500 up 20 and closing above the 6,500 level for the first time. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Longevity and Lifestyles. Let's find out more about that because it's time for the Money Tracker, Don Grant, CFP. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Back in the 16th century, Spanish explorer Ponce de Leon mistakenly landed in Florida when he was aiming for Bimini in search of the Fountain of Youth. While he wasn't the first nor the last to seek some form of a mythical wellspring or other means for everlasting life. Well, we haven't found that yet, but there are several things that we can do to improve life and longevity. First of all, Educate yourself. Knowledge can mitigate fear of the unknown. If you understand retirement as it relates to your investments, when the markets behave as they do, you'll know how to handle the changes. Knowledge can also help one make better decisions about everything you may face. Well, who do you want to be? I've often surprised myself. Hard work has often propelled me to a place that I didn't seek. In your retirement life, you can reinvent yourself. You could become a happier, truer version of the person you would like to become. The sooner you know that, the sooner you can take steps to become that person. Let people help you. Have you ever embarked on a project and got mired in a single challenge that eludes your capability, so the project is stalled? Well, don't be afraid to ask for help. Let someone else with experience in that area help you get past that challenge. Then you can move on. I know I suffer from this a bit. Set goals. Once you have a vision of your perfect lifestyle, create a punch list of the action steps that will get you there. Some tasks may be quick and easy. Other may be tougher, like losing weight to train for a bucket list hike. Either way, the list is critical to success, and track your progress with a schedule that you are able to stick to. And the last one, stick to a schedule. Pew Research shows the average retiree spends 6.8 hours a day watching TV. They'll spend up to 2 hours a day on social media. They didn't watch and scroll that much while they were working full-time. Creating a weekly schedule can help reintroduce structure and routine. This way, we can make the best use of time or activities that are most important to us. And of course, if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Saber Wealth. The number is 316-267-0600.
All right. Thank you, Don. That is Don Grant, the Money Tracker, CFP, with us every weekday morning at this time, here with Steve and Ted on KNSS. I had a couple of stories about, Steve usually tells us about this guy that he's a serial Guinness World Record breaker.
There's been a lot of these stories recently.
Apparently this guy's been really active lately, because apparently all he does is just find the new world record and he breaks it. He lives in Idaho. Here's his latest. He took 96 hits to the face with wet sponges in a single minute.
And that's a
recapturing a Guinness World Record title in the process.
So he had the record. Somebody broke it.
So they call him David Record Breaker Rush, and the guy his pal is Jonathan Hollywood Hannon, who previously held the record for most wet sponges thrown in 1 minute with a team of two. Somebody else did 93, and now they had to break it again. Okay. The record requires the sponges thrown by one participant to strike the second participant in the face. Obviously, humanity is on the brink of extinction. We've run out of things to do. So Rush apparently says, the real challenge, I need my eyes open to track the sponge and make that micro adjustment, but then shut a split second before the scratchy side smacks me in the eyeball. Then, as soon as the water washes off, I've got to open my eyes immediately to locate the next sponge. It's a nonstop cycle of precision timing.
Why are you using the sponges with a scratchy side?
96 is the new world record, by the way, boys, if you want to get on that this weekend.
How long again?
You only got a minute.
1 minute.
To get 96.
Why not just use sponges that don't have a scratchy side?
So this dude personally holds more than 181 Guinness World Record titles. So there you go.
And you make money at this? Or
I don't know. So.
No. I guarantee it costs him money. He must be independently wealthy.
He's just a moron.
Because you actually have to pay Guinness to get their adjudicators to come and witness your record breaking attempt. So he obviously is independently wealthy and has literally nothing else to do with his life.
I've got another Guinness World Record story that we'll talk about later in the show, and it's kind of a good dovetail on this one.
I will wait with bated breath.
There we go. All right, we are moving on to the 7 o'clock hour. A lot of great items coming your way, so we want to make sure you're with us. The 7 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere as we start heading into Labor Day weekend. It's 6:56 with Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.